Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial, two L's, two N's at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Credible. Credible is helping people pay off their student loans. In 90 seconds, they can help you figure out if you're paying too much. All you have to do is go to credible.com/millennial, and you will receive $200 when you choose to refinance your student loans. Support the show and see if Credible is right for you. Remember when I started Millennial a year and a half ago? I didn't really know what I was doing. The first episode took me months to make, and it was only 10 minutes long. But I kept practicing. And I'm still practicing. I've spent more than 2,000 hours practicing in the last 19 months. But there comes a moment when it's time to stop practicing. And it's time to get in the game. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about what no one teaches you, how to maneuver your 20s. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, I suggest you pause and start at episode 1. The first season is serialized, and it'll help you understand why this moment is so important.
It is quite possible that this day is going to be different than any other day.
After I quit my full-time job and start a business, I put everything on the line to become the professional I've always wanted to be. It's a random weeknight. My boyfriend Ben and I are sitting down for dinner after work. After 2 months of working two jobs and having crazy schedules, things are finally settling down. His career is going well. Millennial is doing well. In fact, in a week, I'm headed to New York City to present at a workshop about podcasting, an invitation that I received from a top-notch radio producer. So things are good. Suddenly, my phone buzzes. That same radio producer is emailing me. But instead of writing me about the workshop, she's offering me something else. Something unexpected.
Here, I can bring it up. I'll read it to you. Okay, I'll read it to you. Megan, sorry. Been meaning to write you for ages. I can book time on the calendar for you to meet who heads new show development.
We've decided not to use anyone's names from these podcasting networks. Okay, where were we? New show development. I can hardly process what she's saying.
You've been waiting for this.
I know, but it's also like, what is this even?
No, that's all you need. This is all you need. You know this, and I'm spelling it out to you so that you really know this. So what you need to do between now and then is prepare your pitch.
Pitch them Millennial.
This is what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is what you've wanted from the beginning.
Yeah.
Ever since I started making Millennial, the dream has always been to sign on with a big network. Because it would be like announcing to the world that I made it. And Millennial is now a big deal. It would also mean fancy offices, access to top-of-the-line studios, a steady salary, and a team of producers and editors helping me create my own vision for the show. But most of these networks, like Gimlet, WNYC, PRX, Midroll, Panoply, Radiotopia, Acast, Audible, WBZ, are all in big cities that are pretty far from where I live in Maine. Plus, there are hundreds of thousands of other podcasts out there. So the competition for getting picked up by one of these places is kind of intense. I'm competing against actresses like Lena Dunham and columnists for the New York Times. Having a dream like this is kind of equivalent to me being a Division III basketball player, hoping to sign on with the NBA. But here I am, minding my own business when someone out of the blue who works at one of these networks is inviting me to come to their office and schedule a meeting with their CEO and the head of new show development.
But I mean, I guess I just didn't know what that meant.
That's what that means. It doesn't even matter if that's not what it means. You're in the meeting. Turns out they just want to talk about donuts. It doesn't matter because they could. They might be feeling you out. Or even if it is about donuts, this is your only chance.
So we may just eat donuts.
But what you can't afford is if you go in there and it is about pitching and you're not ready. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
What you need to do is then turn to your team and say, hey, team, Matisse, all these other people, we're in go time. This is huge. Say that to Matisse. I need all guns.
All guns? What kind of guns do I have? How do I prepare for this? I look at Ben and I immediately know what he's thinking. I need to start training. With less than a week to prepare, I make a list. If I'm going to pitch Millennial, I need numbers. People love numbers. So I call up Matisse.
Hey.
All right.
How are you? Good. I have so much news for you. It's kind of nuts.
If Matisse were my coach, she'd be my fundamentals coach. She's the one who can crunch all of my numbers and show me how much Millennial has grown in the last year and a half. Plus, she's a whiz at Excel.
I mean, quarter by quarter, though, you've been continuing to grow, like, at a steady rate. What would that be like? Well, in a year, we've grown 500,000%.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. You haven't even reached your full potential yet. Like, you're just on your way.
What numbers have you got? What are your audience numbers?
If Ben were my coach, he'd be my tough love coach.
How fast is your audience growing? How do we put them together? What are we going to do? What's going to happen next? How fast do you think your audience is going to go? I don't even know what the questions they ask. Things like this. You're ready.
Thank you, coach. Jesus.
I am your coach right now.
This is a weird relationship.
You could talk to Alex Kaufman about it.
Really think about like what an ideal scenario is for you.
This is Alex. He has his own show called Pitch, and he recently signed on with a network. If he were my coach, he'd be my strategy coach.
Like, map out of what a potential budget you think could be. Like, figure out exactly what you want or get as close to that as possible.
I start working on a budget, playing with fake numbers, and I try to figure out what I should be asking for. Meanwhile, my tough love coach is giving me more drills.
Like, what's your vision for the show? And I think you should have a really good answer for that. Like, a really succinct, punchy answer. Not like a convoluted, well, touchy-feely, blah, blah, blah. No, you see it.
I do see it.
I know, but you need to be able to tell it. Like you're on stage, and you have 60 seconds.
Ten days after I received that email, I'm in New York City. As I walk into the trendy office of this network, it's clean, like a Pinterest post. They have glass doors, shiny floors, and standing desks. I can imagine myself being here. Aggressively typing out scripts, drinking coffee late into the night, tough edits, and learning from producers who I admire. I have my notebook close to me with all of Millennial's numbers in it. And I can feel the stars in my eyes. But the door to that dream never opens. I was never put on the calendar to sit in front of the CEO or the head of new show development. I don't pitch them Millennial. We don't even talk about donuts. Instead, I meet the CEO accidentally as I'm walking around the building and I shake his hand. He probably doesn't know who I am or what I'm doing there. I guess I could have waved my hands in front of his face and said, "Hey, I want to pitch Millennial to your network." But I don't want to be that girl. No one wants to work or hire that girl. To me, it felt like this could have been my big break. But for everyone else, it was just another Monday. I leave the Pinterest-like office, and I feel secretly embarrassed. Like someone just told me a scout was coming to my game, and then they never showed up. I don't want to admit to myself that I have just over-prepared for an event that no one else knew about. But that's what happened. When I arrive back to Maine, I think, how could this have happened? A part of me wants to take myself out of the game and sit on the sidelines because there's less disappointment. But as I look through my notebook and I think about the past year and a half, I realize I do have the numbers, and I know what I want this show to look like in the future. I can see it. There are tons of networks out there, and if I'm serious about this, it's going to take more than a lucky email. I have to open my own doors. I have to pitch them myself. But first, they need to know that I'm a player looking for a team, and we need to book some time. I get to work.
Hi, we've met before. For the past year, I've been working
on
millennial.
Because I've decided to pursue millennial full-time.
I email the host of a big show in New York City, and then he puts me in touch with the head of content at his network. And then I email a host who worked with a network in Chicago, and then I follow up with another network, and then I email the CEO of another network in New York City and ask about their pitching process.
Best, Megan. This is all getting easier. Hopefully.
By easier, I mean the act of sending emails to big names in the industry. But I'm not necessarily confident about what I sent.
Have you ever said love in an email? Yeah. Like, I would love to meet blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if that's too much, you know? Too fangirly. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's a fine line.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just impulsively used it.
All of a sudden, it feels like fireworks are going off in my inbox. Networks are interested, and they know we're not going to talk about donuts. I only have a few days to prepare.
Okay, so it says millennial has grown exponentially in the first quarter. We've had 1,000 people.
I'm nervous.
Second quarter, we have 14,000.
It's not just that I'm pitching a business opportunity and my dream. I'm pitching the last year and a half of my life.
But what the hell's the holdup?
I'm working on
the first episode. Oh, okay. It's coming along.
The moment I first took the leap into podcasting.
We also have steak and eggs, 5-ounce steak, red pepper coulis on top, 2 eggs served however you like, English muffin and home.
The days I used to drag my recording equipment into the restaurant where I waitressed.
I'm a finalist!
My victories.
I'm not falling, but it just sucks.
My defeats. Every single moment I've spent building Millennial into something I could be proud of. And now I'm going to put it all on the line for one big game.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again, and most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
This is Megan.
Like, I want Millennial to become like the show that people go to about coming of age.
We're expanding beyond just my story.
We are growing exponentially.
A total of almost 300,000
like
people.
The next tier would be to travel, and then the next tier would be to travel internationally.
It's not just about being in your 20s. It's about change. you never stop coming of age. And I feel like that's why Millennial will be a sustainable show.
So crazy. It's so crazy. I just had a phone call with like the head of content, who's kind of like a big deal.
Like any good player, after the game, I call up my mom and I tell her how I did.
And he listens to the most recent episode of Millennial, really likes it. He says, what you're doing is really tricky. You know, these types of things can be done really poorly, like where somebody's talking in first person, but like you're doing a really good job. So don't lose that. So I was
they're
like,
going to
well,
pick you up, aren't they?
I mean, we're in talks. I'm not sure, you know, even though like I'm freaking out to you. I'm like, on the phone, I'm like, yeah, sure, that would be great to come and be flown there. Like, sure, yeah. This is what happens. Like, all of a sudden, the ball is rolling, you know, and you're just
I know.
Like,
as soon as you jumped, you're in midair, and you jumped
yeah.
from one branch to the next.
I am in midair. And while I'm suspended, I get another email. It's from a network. But not just any network. It's the Big City Network.
And now, please welcome!
If this were a basketball team, it would be the New York Knicks. This network is known for winning championships. They're known for having the best players of podcasting and public radio on their teams, and they have millions of people watching them. They also have fancy studios, large teams of producers, big budgets that can fly people all over the country, tall white leather chairs, and window-lit conference rooms. When I get on the phone with them, they tell me their goal would be for Millennials' listenership to grow and reach millions of people. And I believe them. This network is where Millennial could have its big break. It's where radio stars are made. But before I get carried away, I should really talk to somebody who's been here before.
It's like that coming of age, that decision time.
I know.
Decisions,
so many decisions.
This is Shannon. He has his own podcast called Homemade Stories, which has been hosted by a network out of Chicago. If he were a coach, he'd be my life coach.
What do you think an ideal situation would be for Millennial?
For you?
Yeah.
So far as with stations, it can be bureaucratic sometimes. It can be multiple departments. And
oh, do you think that there are like a lot of rules when you're working with stations? You know what I mean? Like it's hard to be yourself because there are so many people who are telling you, you know, we got to go through this many people to get this approved, and you can't say stuff like that because it's with us.
You know, you compromise. I mean, it's benefits and it's distractions, you know. But the thing is, like your show, you're doing it yourself. Nobody else is doing it. The show is a good show. You know what I'm saying? And this, I mean, you've been very candid and transparent with everybody. And I think might
change
that in some
that.
Ways.
Limitations, control, change. I didn't realize that signing on with a network would mean sacrifices. And what Shannon is saying is, yeah, in exchange for this kind of jersey, I may have to give up some things that are important. I may have to give up my ownership of these episodes. Someone else may be telling me what I can and cannot say, and there would be a lot of pressure to perform. My biggest fear is that all of these sacrifices would change the show. As I'm mulling over all of this, I receive an email. The Big City Network wants to fly me into town so I can meet multiple people in their marketing and editorial department. A few weeks ago, I would have been excited But now the thought of going to visit is making my stomach churn. I'm not sure what I want anymore. As I look out over the water, I think about a story my tough love coach told me once.
Can you tell me it again? I always forget.
There's a fisherman and his wife, and they're sitting on a beach, and he's pulled in his catch for the day, and it's enough for him and his family, but not a lot. And a businessman orders one of the fish and says, "This is the best fish I've ever had in my life." He goes up to the man and says, "There's a great opportunity here. You could sell these fish all over the world." And the fisherman says, "Why would I want to do that?" And he says, "Well, because then you could make lots of money, and you could be very wealthy and well-regarded in the community, and you could have status." And he said, "Why do I want that?" And the businessman says, "Well, because then you could sell it off, and you could retire and relax with your wife on the beach." And the fisherman said, "But I'm already doing that." I always think about that, and just trying to appreciate what is happening right now.
In many ways, I already have the life that I want. Sure, I want the resources and support and prestige of a network, but I'm not ready to turn my show and my life upside down for it. As I'm trying to figure out how to tell them this, I receive another email. "Hi, Megan. How are you as the year gallops forward? I'm now deep into thinking about what's ahead for our network in 2016. I'm curious how you feel things are going with Millennial and what your own plans are for the year. Season 2 is off to a great start so far. I'd love to talk with you about all of this!" Exclamation point.
This is a real thing. This is a real thing. This is real. Emails. Emails, yo. Emails, man. They just make or break you, you know?
This network that's contacting me isn't your average network. To be honest, they're like a dream team. They work with independent producers, but they let them maintain control of their shows. And they don't have that many shows because they tend to be very selective. In fact, from what I know, you can't even pitch to them. They come to you. It's almost like they're an underground team and I just didn't know where to try out. But it turns out they were scouting me.
Well, I first wanted to ask you, like, why did you gravitate towards Millennial?
I just think the show's gotten better and better and better, which isn't to say I didn't enjoy it from the beginning, but I've actually heard the show shift and evolve over time, and it's a very strong show. You're working hard on your own. You're exactly the kind of producer we want to support, you know, independent. You have a sense of what it takes. You know the hard work involved, and you've kind of done your time. You've worked for it.
They want Millennial on their team, just the way it is. I'll own it and call all the shots. And they just want to support it with resources and marketing and occasional high fives after games. I'll get to work with radio producers that I admire while staying in Maine. This was an offer I had no trouble saying yes to. When I dreamt of signing on with a network, I thought I had to join the pros and move into their stadium. But it turns out I can be a pro on my neighborhood court. And now I finally have a team I can play with. It is my honor to announce that Millennial is a proud, proud member of
Radiotopia.
Thank you.
This means that Millennial is a part of a family of amazing shows like 99% Invisible, Criminal, The Heart, Love and Radio, The Truth, Radio Diaries, and there are so many more. To listen to Millennial's new podcasting family, go to radiotopia.fm. Also, if you want to support this family, become a sponsor. Email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Editing help for this episode was provided by my nurturing coach, Devin Taylor, and my tough love coach, Ben Severance. Also, special thanks to my fundamentals coach, Matisse Miller, my strategy coach, Alex Kappelman, my mom, Susan Tan, who was my first coach ever, my life coach, Shannon Kaysen, and the person who's been watching Millennial from the very beginning and believes in the show as much as I do, my MBA coach, Julie Shapiro. If you want to stand in the crowd and cheer on Millennial as it plays in some big games, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, like podcasts without the vowels, on Facebook, on Instagram, and if you want to give Millennial a high five, rate us on iTunes. Also, if you want to know when the next show is going to drop, go to millennialpodcast.org, scroll down to the bottom, and sign up for the newsletter. I'm so fortunate that you all have been with me as I've been training for this game. Now it's time for me to rest up, because this is just the beginning. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Thanks again to Squarespace for supporting the show. Squarespace. Share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, two L's, two N's, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase.